Blog Talk Radio.
Does a monster roam the remote forest of North America? Some know it as Bigfoot. Others call it Sasquatch. Eyewitnesses describe a creature covered with hair, walking on two legs, towering over 8 feet tall, and sporting massive arms and shoulders. Join us as we examine the evidence, interview the eyewitnesses, and ponder the mystery on Sasquatch Watch Radio. And now, here are your hosts for Sasquatch Watch Radio, Billy Willard and the Creature Seeker.
All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of Sasquatch Watch Radio. Today is April 28th, 2015. And as always, we want to remind everyone about the sponsor for Sasquatch Watch Radio, which is Audible.com. Audible.com, of course, is a place where you can go on the web and find audiobooks for your listening pleasure. They have over 150,000 different titles to choose from. And being a listener of the show, you have an opportunity to get a free audiobook as well as a 30-day trial. The way you do that is you go to audibletrial.com/Sasquatch Watch Radio. Again, it's audibletrial.com/Sasquatch Watch Radio. You go there, they give you your free audiobook, they give you your 30-day trial. That way you can give it a test run, see how you like it. If you don't like it, then cancel. But I think you're going to find something on there that you enjoy, especially if you get a little bored when you're driving down the road or something, and it'd be nice to listen to something other than bad news, you know, or the same old music over and over, you know, gives you an opportunity to listen to maybe your favorite book. So definitely check them out if you get a chance. We will wait for our illustrious co-host to show up. He finally came in. How are you doing, the Night Creature Seeker?
Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Well, I'm here on the show with you. That's what's going on. So,
well, we had an interesting weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, so I attended the Butler Paranormal Conference, and that was put on by our good friends at BORU and the Center for Unexplained Events. And as always, it was a really fun time.
That's good.
If there are folks who live in Pennsylvania, and you know they have not been to this conference, it's a fun time. I'd recommend that they go.
Well, one thing's for sure, if you're in Pennsylvania, I mean, you can't be too far, you know? It's not that far to drive.
So, let's see. Who was there? So, the Legend Hunters were there. So, that was Dave Rupert and his crew. Of course, we had Stan Gordon was there. And who else? We had Brian Seach and his wife were there, representing the Center for Unexplained Events and the Center for Cryptozoological Studies. Tim Shaw was there. He's a great guy. Got to hang out with him for a little while. And there are, a bunch of other vendors there. And then there are some other groups that I can't remember off the top of my head. But it was a blast.
Yeah, I think we enjoy all the events that we go to. especially ones that are put on by a lot of our closer friends. So Brian and Terry and all of them always do a great job on anything they get involved with. So
yeah, and they're always they're very generous with their time. They right. always volunteer for these things, and you know, I think that's the one thing that characterizes those folks, is that they're always eager to help folks, you know.
Yeah.
So I was one thing that shocked me, Billy. So Dave Rupert and his wife Terry gave a presentation on some of the stuff that they've been working on. It was almost informative.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was probably the closest Dave has ever come to giving a presentation that people enjoyed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's about ready to graduate to, you know, maybe like, you know, freshman or something.
You never know, Billy, you know, if he keeps it up, he could be a speaker at Creature Weekend in a, you know, 50 or 60 years.
Yeah. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. There's a lot of people you've turned down for that. So.
Oh, I know. I still get the hate mail and the disdainful looks because of that.
speaking of which, you know, it's coming up this weekend.
Creature Weekend, that's right. So ticket sales are offline now. So we're going to have a limited number of tickets to sell at the conference. So we'll have general admission tickets for adults and children, and the tickets will be available at the ballroom level at the Creature Weekend registration table. The registration table opens up at 10 a.m. So if there are folks who have not yet purchased a ticket and want to go to the event, then I suggest you arrive promptly at 10 a.m. because there's probably going to be a ton of people who are going to be thinking the same thing.
Right.
So it should be a really fun time. I'm pretty psyched about it, Billy.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I've got everything pretty much ready. I've got everything stacked in the middle of my floor in my warehouse waiting to be loaded onto the truck. So, you know, kind of wanted to get myself, you know, been kind of working on it here and there, you know, because it's been busy, of course, at work. So every time I think of something, I say, oh, and I go pull it and I put it in the middle of the floor. Figure if I do it that way, I'll be more, less likely to forget something. So,
yeah, that's a good way. You know, I have the list I made out the first year, and for the most part, it's the same list every year.
Right.
But, you know, it just gets, even though you're bringing the same types of things, because the event has grown, you're just bringing more of it. So I
yep.
think pretty soon I'm going to have to upgrade to a trailer.
Well, you can always rent a U-Haul trailer or something.
Yeah.
Let's bring it.
So,
yeah, it's hard. It's okay. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, I think so. We always have a lot of laughs, Billy.
Yep. So, I assume that since you went to the Butler conference, I'm assuming you actually listened to some of the parts. I mean, because you already talked about Dave graduating to freshman status and giving his talk. How many other talks did you watch?
Well, I mean, I was present for all of them pretty much. You know, the problem is sometimes there are people at the table. So, you know, I was answering questions or talking to folks who came up to the table. And so I didn't really get to catch all of it, but I think Tim Shaw's presentation was really interesting. And, you know, the part that I caught of it was that, you know, he was pretty much saying that, you know, we think of like Ouija boards and things like that as portals, but really, it's not the Ouija board. It's the intention, you know? So you can pretty much, and this is, you know, of course, if you believe in this stuff, right? So
right.
He said you can pretty much invite evil into your life without a Ouija board, you know? So, you know, that makes sense to me. You know, I think you invite evil into your life, you know, by the decisions you make. If you make bad decisions, then bad things are going to happen. But, you know, he was just saying Ouija boards, it's just, you know, it's just an inanimate object. You know, we give it meaning.
So,
I thought that was kind of interesting. Of course, you know, we've all heard stories of what happens when people mess around with that stuff, right?
Yep.
So, you know, I'm not, I've done some investigations with the folks out there in Pennsylvania, some, you know, called ghost hunting or whatever. I've actually spent the night down at Waverly Hills Sanitarium, not as an inmate, but researching the... it's actually a sanatorium, which is different than a sanitarium. So, you know, a sanatorium is basically like a hospital. And, you know, Waverly Hills was built to deal with the tuberculosis outbreak. And so, whereas the sanitarium is where you go, where, you know, when you lose your mind.
Right.
But still, you know, as you know, Billy, there are things that I can't explain that, you know, I've seen and still searching for an explanation. And that's one of those things. People say, you know, have you seen a ghost? Well, I can't say I have, but I've seen some very strange things.
Right.
That I can't explain. So, and as you know, I like to be able to, you know, explain things in terms of science and physics and things like that. So.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
I see that we have quite a few people on the line. However, I don't see any indication that anyone wants to come on to the show. So just as a reminder, it's okay to call in, obviously, and listen to the show. But if you're calling in to be a part of the show or you want to speak, please don't forget to press the 1 key. And that's the way that the screen gives me an indication that you want to be brought on the show. So just letting everyone know that. And someone just took me up on that offer. Caller from the 724 area code, you're on the air.
Hello, Billy and Bruce. How you doing?
Hey, good, Ryan. How you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, it was great catching up with you folks over the weekend at the Butler Paranormal Conference. It's always a great time.
Yeah, thanks for driving all the way down and attending. You know, we appreciated it. I thought we had a really good conference. It was pretty well attended. It was our eighth annual. Dan and Patty Hegman from Boulder, they're the ones that sponsor the conference. Our group Q, we co-sponsor with them. So between Dan's members and I think, you know, our members, I think we all did a pretty good job.
Yeah, the food was really good, except they ran out of hamburgers really quickly. We'll have to work on that for next year.
We'll put an order in for you, Bruce.
leave it to Bruce to only be concerned about the food at the event.
Hey, Billy, I'm not only concerned about the food. I was just—it was just an observation. All right.
We tried to get prime rib on the menu, Bruce, but too pricey for us here in Western Pennsylvania.
Well, that's okay. We're having it this weekend.
That's right.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you guys had a good conference. I had no doubt that you wouldn't. But one of these years, I'll finally get to come to one of those.
Yeah, we have to get you to speak, Billy. We've been talking about that. We'd love to get you to speak at ours.
I'd love to do it. I will obviously have to talk Janine into adding an event.
Yeah, I agree. We know how that is. We have Creature Weekend this weekend, and then in 2 weeks we're going to be up at the Erie MUFON conference. So we know what you mean.
Yeah, it's a little tough sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We did have a good conference, and we personally like to thank Dave and Carrie Rupert from the Legend Hunters. We thought they did a really good job. Dave was really funny, and Carrie were really funny too. They threw some really good one-liners in there. Reverend Tim Shaw was awesome. That's the first time, well, second time we've heard Tim, and he's very captivating. He has a voice actually like a preacher, which he is. Voice, his inflection will go up and down, and he like mesmerizes you with his presentation. He did a fantastic job. The other ones were John Ventry. He did a good job. And Proof PA and Steeltown Paranormal. Those were paranormal research groups. They both, everybody did a great job. It was a great time.
That's good.
So, Brian, good those were the two women at the end that was the paranormal folks?
Yeah, it was Katie Barkas and Mary Barber. They were from Proof of Pennsylvania. They're a research group, a ghost research group.
Okay, awesome. Brian, would you, you've done this. How many years have you put on the Butler Conference?
This was number 8.
Wow. That's a good run.
Yeah, it is. It's, we've had some really lean years where, sometimes, we can't, you barely make it, but we had a really good year this year, though. We're looking forward to 9 and especially our 10th anniversary.
Wow. What are you going to do for the 10-year anniversary? Anything special?
Well, we're going to think of something. I already told Dan we already got the first speakers confirmed, so.
For the 10-year?
Yeah, me and Terry, we're going to speak finally at our own conference.
Now, Brian, you're also, not only do you do this, the Butler Paranormal Conference with Dan Hageman, and not only do you help out with Creature Weekend, but you're also, you have another thing going on, right?
Yes, we have another event that we're putting together, Center for Cryptozoological Studies. It's going to be the first annual Bigfoot Day at Beaver Creek State Park in Columbiana County, Ohio, on August 16th. I had to ask Terry my dates. I keep messing up my dates here. And that's going to be a really good time. Hopefully you can come and camp with us, Bruce. You too, Billy, if you're not doing anything that weekend.
Okay.
We'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, doing a little bit of Bigfooting, and right after the actual event is on Sunday. It's right after they have every month they have a really big pancake breakfast there. So there's going to be a big pancake breakfast. Excuse me?
A pancake breakfast?
Yeah, they hold it once a month at the Pioneer Village at the Barn Pavilion. And it's really good. I forget what the cost is, but it's you get a lot, you get a decent amount of pancakes, and they get a really big crowd for that. So we decided, why don't we just have the event with the vendors and the speakers right after that and make it a whole day. So me and Fred are going to be speaking. Dave and Carrie Rupert and Ryan Cavaline on the Legend Hunters are going to be speaking. Jody Cook and Mark Kudak from Sospe is going to be speaking. So we have a nice little lineup. It's free. They'll accept donations. The money being raised will help fund the park and the renovations for a big for renovations for the Pioneer Village. So we always like to any event that we're in, we like to try to get back to the community. We had just this last weekend, we took donations for the food bank, and I think this is probably the most food that they've gotten in 8 years. So we like to try to give back to the community and any chance we get.
Wow! Now explain to me what this this Pioneer Town is, and why they need to raise money for it.
Well, Ohio, like Pennsylvania and a bunch of other parks, their funding has been cut drastically. So they need money to keep up the park and to fix up the village and the paddle. Well, you can talk, Terry. Terry's here. Better say hi and let her talk to you here.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hey,
hi. Brian was telling you about the renovations at the park. Right now they're doing redoing the paddle wheel for the mill, grist mill.
Yeah.
They actually still make the flour and stuff that they use for the pancake breakfast. And it was
the pancake breakfast, the flour is made from that
like they did the old fashioned way? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they still grind the wheat for the flour.
Well, you know what? Let's get that darn thing fixed for crying out loud.
That's what they're working on. They're getting that fixed, and the upkeep of all the buildings, they're, you know, original buildings. They weren't originally there in that spot, but they were in the area, and they moved them all together to put the Pioneer Village together. So they're from the Pioneer days, so they do need repaired, and they need to upkeep, and that's what the money being raised is for.
And how much are they trying to raise for that?
What did they say for the paddle wheel? How much?
We were at the park board meeting, and you know what? I'm going to be honest. I forget.
they did give an amount. I don't know how many thousands of dollars it was that their goal was, but to raise.
Kind of what we told them, Bruce. They're all pretty much, you know, they're skeptical of Bigfoot, just about all of them. But I told them, basically, that you have a unique opportunity right now because Bigfoot is hot. We told them about Salt Fork, and there has been a lot of sightings in Beaver Creek, a lot of weird happenings. Just ask Billy. He'll tell you about his story. We told them, you know, suspend your disbelief. I said, if you want to get people in your park and you want to try to raise money, you have a Bigfoot day. So I guarantee we'll draw the people in. So there's going to be vendors there. We're probably going to have some kids' games. There's a pancake breakfast, and you can tour the Pioneer Village. Just a really good family event. You're going to have some speakers there talking about Bigfoot. It's just going to be a really cool event. I think there's going to be a lot of people to help the park. I really do.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they should abandon the pancake thing. I think that could bring in some dollars, especially for me.
They won't abandon that, that's for sure.
Bruce will go up there and try to talk them into some kind of a prime rib party or something.
I figured that.
Bigfoot and prime rib. They go together.
So, all right. So, I mean, a wooden water wheel, how much can that cost? Can you get some Amish folks to, you know, make you one up in a couple of days?
Well, they do have somebody, redoing it. But to buy the supplies for it, it costs money. And then there's the metal band, I guess, that holds it together or something. They had to go to a local place to make that.
And not just that, there's other things that they need to do in the park and stuff like that. And so it's not just for the paddle wheel. Yeah, it's to keep the park running all year. They do have a lot of other events there, like Pioneer Days, I think. They have other events like through the year too. So I think this can add to them and, you know, help raise money and to get people at the park. To be honest, we live in Beaver County, which is the county directly across from basically Columbiana County where this is. And we have talked to so many people, hey, have you ever been to Beaver Creek Park? And they said, no. So many people, it's kind of like an underutilized park, basically. I said, let's try to get people back down to your park here. I really, you know, I feel good about the event. I think it will draw. I think it will help them. As I told them, if not, you never have one again. I mean, so... It's worth a shot. It's definitely worth a shot.
Well, I think it's a great cause, definitely, Brian. So, mm-hmm. You know, I hope the event is very successful because, you know, our state parks are dwindling because of funding cuts.
And yes, that, all of them. You're right. It's a shame, too, you know?
Yeah. It is a shame. So, you know, I think that's definitely a worthwhile cause. Now, you said it's in August. Now, do people actually camp out for the whole time they're there? Can they get a motel room? I mean, what are the options?
Yeah, there's a family campground there. And there are hotels or motels.
Hotels in Calcutta, right above
in Calcutta.
Right
hill,
yeah.
Yeah, nearby.
I think there may be even the Dairy Queen over there, Bruce. I'm not sure.
All right, well, Brian, you sealed the deal for me then.
Either that or it's a Brewster's.
Yeah, if there's a Dairy Queen out there, then I say let's do it.
I don't think they let you keep the Dairy Queen, Bruce.
Oh, very funny, Terry.
Hold on, Bruce. Hold on. We got somebody else on the line from the 814 area code. You're on the air.
Hi, Bruce. Hi, Billy. Hi, Brian and Terry. It's Carrie Rupert.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you, Brian and Terry, for having, on behalf of Legend Hunters, having us at your conference again. And we really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, and it was successful, I think. We enjoyed all the speakers, and even though we didn't get hamburgers, we still enjoyed the food. It was really
Bruce ate them all.
I know. That's what happens.
Brian, I didn't even have a one, all right? So don't start
spreading rumors. Bruce, to be fair, hamburgers weren't on the menu. They had hot dogs. They had meatball sandwiches. There were nachos. I don't think hamburgers were on the menu.
I know, but they were on the menu last year, Terry. You can't get people expecting to get hamburgers at this event and then pull them one year. It's not right.
There was a McDonald's down the road, Bruce. I think it was Amy
down the road, Brian.
What's that?
I said there's lots of things down the road, but I was at the event. Come on.
Yeah, Amy Perry went out and she bought me a McDonald's thing in the morning. So,
oh really? Thanks, Terry. Thanks for asking me.
No, Amy.
No, not me.
Amy.
Oh, Amy.
Amy Perry. Yeah.
Bruce, I didn't get any either.
Yeah. Well, I guess we don't rate.
You weren't even there, actually. You weren't even there. You didn't come till later. This was. Like an hour before it opened, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, it was, it was Dan's wife and mother-in-law. They were manning the kitchen over there. And I think they just got tired of seeing me come up to the window. Because they kept saying, we're all out of stuff.
I think they said, you go home now, you scare children.
Hey Bruce, we had a good time with you also, like going out and everything as usual. But I think it was bad luck because we went out with you for wings, you know, close to our home. Remember? And they were out. Everything Bruce would try to order, the waitress would come back, and no kidding, she would be like, "I'm sorry, we don't have that anymore." Like everything he asked for.
Everything. I think she's trying to tell me something, but. Yeah, everything I tried to order, she'd come back and say, "I'm sorry, we're out."
And then finally, she did have fried mushrooms.
Yeah,
and so
for Dave.
For Dave, and she brought them out and said, "They're free because this is all we have left, and there's this little tiny bowl."
Yeah, it's like a little dish, and it looked like cat food. I don't know why Dave liked that stuff, but.
Yeah. But we did have a good time seeing you as well, of course. And
thanks.
And Creature Weekend will be really nice. I know we're not going to get to make it, but it's a great event also, and I'm excited for you guys. I'll have to listen and see how it goes.
Yeah, we're gonna miss you guys. So I'll catch up with you during the summer at some point.
Yeah, definitely. But, maybe at the Beaver Creek thing. I'm playing kids' games. You could get in on those, Bruce.
Yeah, what kind of game?
Well, I'm thinking Bigfoot stuff.
Oh, okay. So, I thought you meant like pie-eating contest or something.
Well I could do that. We could make pies.
Yeah. Bruce, you could do pin the tail on the prime rib.
Yeah.
Brian, you know what? Billy, this is what it was like for the whole weekend, these guys.
Well, I can tell you what. I think what would be better is you hang up a poster of, like a diagram of a cow, and he has to put the prime rib in the right spot on the cow.
Well, but Carrie, one thing, your husband needs to get like a man-sized bladder. Seriously. He had to go to the restroom how many times? I've known women in the third trimester of pregnancy who didn't have to go to the bathroom as much as Dave did.
Maybe too much beer.
I know, but he's got like a thimble-sized bladder. Every time we're like, all right, let's go. Oh, wait, I got to go to the bathroom. So,
well, how about when that bar fight almost started and he stood up with his arms like ready to fight? I'm like, sit down.
Yeah. Yeah, when he stood up, I actually thought he was going to go to the restroom again.
But, I'm like, this is not your argument. Okay, the people don't want to pay their bills. Sit down.
You should change the tagline for Legend Hunters, Carrie. And
yes?
You should say, Legend Hunters, we put the P in paranormal research.
I like that. Hey, do you want me to tell what we talked about at the conference?
I don't know. What did we talk about?
Well, we talked about Hillview Manor, which is in Newcastle that we did research at. And,
I remember that.
Yeah. And we had quite a few experiences there. And we talked about the Meadix Run Hotel, which they had some activity there. And it was pretty neat because, let me see what date it was. They let them see the books and get pictures of the books. And some presidents had stayed there, and they used to hunt there in the fall. So I believe it was General Grant and Grover Cleveland stayed there on Sunday, November 15th, 1896, which is pretty neat history. And at the bar room, they did have activity. At one of the chairs, they had some high EMF readings, and they didn't realize it, but here there's activity there. There's a ghost that stays there, and she'll actually flip their drinks, people's drinks over, if they talk bad about the Meadix Hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they were getting these high readings, and then they asked the girl, has anything ever happened at this spot right here? We're getting high readings. And she shared that with them. So that was pretty cool. But he wants to talk, so I'm talking to the litigation. So now he's like, all right, hold on.
Yeah, that lady, she'd flip beer over if you talked real bad. And so I kept on drinking beer trying to get her to flip it. And about the sixth one, I realized she ain't going to do it.
You drank six beers and realized she wasn't going to flip it?
Yeah. I mean, I just kept on trying and trying and trying. It just didn't happen. But, no, it was a really cool place. That's what we like to try to do is try to hit places that, it ain't quite nearly as popular or anything like that, and do things out of the ordinary.
Well, I heard you during your presentation, you're telling the folks there in the audience that you guys, you do paranormal research, you look for Bigfoot, you look for hidden treasure, and you look for lost cities. Is that true?
Well, the lost city part is a future thing. It is something that we want to venture into more and more. But we've been doing lost town, like ghost towns, things like that. Where the lost city come from, I think, was somebody just prettying up our PowerPoint.
Well, Dave, with your horrible sense of direction, I think any city you come across is going to be a lost city to you.
Let's talk about talking a little bit, being that I graduated to freshman. That's a real art to that. I mean, I've done well at places where, I've talked and there's no other speakers there. But whenever I was around the people that speak regularly and things like that, I got really nervous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, so when you realized that the audience wasn't paying attention to you, you relaxed.
Right.
You did a great job, Dave. Don't let him kid you.
I will say this, Dave. You and Carrie made me laugh more than once during your presentation. You had some pretty funny moments there.
Well, I was trying to picture everybody naked in black socks, and then I looked back at you, and I just lost control. I couldn't even think of nothing else.
Yeah, but Dave, even when you're not speaking, that's how you try to picture people. So I don't know what point you're trying to make here.
I don't know. I don't have any points. I'm just trying to talk.
Not only that, Rupert. I mean, just remember, whenever you're up there talking, no one's looking at you. They're looking at your beard.
Well, that's what I was hoping on. I actually put beard jewelry in and hoping that they'd just pay attention to that instead of my face. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? What sort of beard jewelry?
You didn't see the beard jewelry that I had in?
Well, I saw you had a little braid in there. What is that? What you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. You didn't see the little beads on there?
I did. I tried. It's like staring at the sun, Dave. I get a sense of it, and I look away.
Yeah. Did you pick out a wand?
I didn't, but I see you did.
Yeah,
and
I did.
Dave,
I got a magic
wand. Dave, before you go too far, I invited that nice woman to listen to the show, so... She may very well be in the chat room right now, so
I wasn't gonna
make sure you're on your best behavior.
I am on my best behavior. Hey, I see a lot of people wanted to see Fred call in, talk about some of his paranormal Bigfoot stuff.
That's really interesting stuff.
No, I think it's an interesting subject.
I talked to Fred Sluga at the event, and I think that's about as much as I can take in this small time frame.
I think we should discuss this a little bit further right now, you know, the possibilities.
He believes it. He believes it, Dave. Don't let him bullshit you. He believes it.
I don't believe that crap. What are you talking about?
You know it. Admit it, Bruce. Just come clean.
Billy, what side of the fence do you stand on that subject?
Well, you know, considering the fact that we're talking about Bigfoot being paranormal, I don't really stand on the fence. I'm like half beamed.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Fred will not be calling in tonight. I asked him. He's probably won't be back from teaching his conspiracy class down in Ohio. So.
Yeah. Is he doing the cryptozoology thing too, or is that last semester?
That was two semesters ago when we both did it. He's doing a conspiracy class. Actually, he's doing two of them on the same day, so every Tuesday.
Wow. He's really getting into that teaching this, you know, bull crap to people, isn't he?
Yeah, he has a nice following down in Steubenville, Ohio, and West Virginia. He really does. I mean, a lot, you know, people come from all over the place down there to hear him. So he has a good following. Yeah, he has his own group down there too. So.
Fred's a good guy. I just don't subscribe to some of his cockamamie theories.
And I did tell him to bring his award, so I think he's bringing his award down.
Is he bringing? So Fred Sluga was the winner of the 2014 Creature Weekend Interdimensional Bigfoot Award. And I think he's got like 800 likes so far on his Facebook page from it.
Yeah, it was funny. It was really funny. He was proud of that award, too.
I'm surprised he didn't bring it to the Butler Conference.
Oh, you know what? That would have been a good idea. I think he just forgot, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, Carrie and Dave actually have this video recording of a howl that kind of baffles us.
Yeah, would you like me to get it? And since you helped us get it refined a little bit there, Bruce, do you want me to play it?
If you want to, if it's not too much trouble. So they were doing this video, and I think you weren't doing any Bigfoot research. You were doing something else, right? And you just happened to catch this this vocalization, I guess we can call it, on the video.
Yeah.
And it happened.
Yeah, we were.
And it. Oh, you go ahead. Tell the story.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were looking for. It's called the Dense Run Gold. We've been looking for it for about 2 years now. It's on. It's in. Let me see here. I'm sorry. It's in Benazet. And while we were out there, we were in three different groups, and we ended up, you know, we like hiked probably, oh my gosh, we hiked, it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We started out early in the morning, and there was rocks everywhere, and we showed pictures at the conference, you know, of the caves and different things we were looking in that day, and we got into different groups, and we heard these vocalizations from like three different places. And we did get two of them on video, and Bruce, you heard the vocalizations, and we listened over and over again while you were here, and Dave can't explain what it is, what kind of animal. What do you think?
You know what? So when I first heard it, it sounded to me like there wasn't enough volume or bass to it. And so, you know, of course, when you catch it on video, you know, the sound may not, accurately sort of recreate the bass or the volume that, you know, you guys hear. Because I think you made the comment that it was when you were actually there on the mountain, it sounded louder, right?
It did. It made you feel very small. It was it was booming. Yeah, so unfortunately we didn't have our really good camera out there. You know what I mean? Because we weren't planning on big footing. We were looking for gold, so we had all our equipment for our gold hunting. And of course, that's when it happens, right? When you least expect it.
Of course.
And yeah, so yeah, it was pretty neat, but it was huge. I mean, the howls were huge. They made you feel very small, and we were all, you know, as Dave would say, we were bedaffled by it. You know, we didn't know where it was coming from. It was so big and came from so many different areas. So yeah, so that was pretty interesting.
It was interesting, and I've actually since then, you know, I worked on that video and isolated the sound with you guys. I've listened to it like a number of times, and it's very faint in the recording. So I'm really gonna have to find a way to sort of amplify it and loop it and see if we can tweak it so that it's a little bit more distinct and articulate.
Yeah, if you could do that, that'd be great. We'd appreciate it. And if you ever want to share it on here, that'd be wonderful. Let other people hear it, see what they think.
Great. If I ever did that, I'd get with you guys first and, you know, share the results with you. And then let you decide what you want to do with it. Since it's, you know, that's your video. But I have to say that it's one of the more compelling vocalizations that I've heard. I couldn't really place it. And
it sounds a lot like the Ohio howl, I think. I mean,
because
when we were out with Brian and Terry that time, and we were coming in from camping, we talked about that, you know, I think last Tuesday or the Tuesday before that on here, and, you know, we all heard it. We were getting in our tents, and it was so similar to that, only that one sounded it sounded more distant. And, you know, so these ones, they sounded very, like, a lot closer. It's almost like we were being followed at first, which was exciting because we thought if we could get it, you know, maybe we could see something too.
The video, which is only like maybe 6.5 minutes long, I think the howl was only captured two or three times during that 6.5 minutes. You said that even before you switched the video camera on, that you had been hearing these howls. And so you finally decided to capture, you know, on the camera. So this is sort of the tail end of it, right?
Right, yeah. Because we started, you know, as soon as we heard it, you know, I told, you know, one of my sons, you know, turn on the video camera. He does our videoing. lot of the times, and he turned it on, and we were really excited, and we were doing Hal's back, you know, to communicate, and it seemed to work for a while. And one thing we found works really well is to keep your walkie-talkie turned on. Like, somebody hold your walkie-talkie and whoever's doing the call. This is something other people can try. And that way, you know, if you have groups of people out and about, it's really going to carry, you know, your howl's going to carry even further for more communication. So, mm-hmm. It's something. I mean, and there are a lot of elk out there, but it's definitely not an elk. And I don't think coyote, like I said, it didn't sound like a coyote. And I mean, Dave, he's been hunting a long time, and he's been coyote hunting and all that. And Ryan actually did a film on the elk. You know, he did a movie about the elk, so he knew, and he said that was not elk. So, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, I would agree that, you know, from what I heard, I don't think that was an elk. I definitely don't think it was an elk. Yeah, so...
Okay, thank you. Yeah, well, thank you.
I mean, it definitely... it is weird. That's all I can say. Do you have the sound file?
What's that?
Do you have the sound file? Did you want to play it right now?
Oh, I can get it. Yeah, I didn't know if you'd like to. Yeah, let me get it. Here, I'll let Dave.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay. You don't have any other callers, do you? You guys okay?
No, we're good. No, we're good on this end.
So,
hey, Bruce. Hey, Bruce.
Yeah.
Before I forget, Bruce, Digger Dog kind of reminded me, there's been so much going on in our area with Baltimore and stuff like that. It just kind of, you know, it's like you, it slips your mind all the things that are going on. But I would like to take a moment to really, you know, we really need to thank and have prayers for those that were in Nepal that were involved with that earthquake. A lot of people lost their lives over there, and I'm sure that there's probably a lot of folks over there that some of us may have known. So we'd like to kind of mention that and just remind everyone to kind of keep those folks in your thoughts and in your prayers, because, you know, it was a really bad earthquake. I think the last count was over 5,000 people perished.
Yeah.
So, you know, want to definitely keep all those folks in mind.
Yeah, that was very tragic, Billy. You know, and the thing too is, you know, I've traveled to, you know, some third world countries, and you know, they don't have the same architectural standards that we do, and so when a natural disaster like the hits, it's especially tragic in. Because the structure is just, you know, they're not made to withstand that sort of stuff. Like, you know, say out in California, where they actually make buildings that are earthquake proof, so to speak. You know.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah.
But keep those folks in mind and in our prayers and thoughts. So, all right, let's hear this vocalization.
All right, you ready? I hope it sounds okay over the phone. Here we go. Did you hear that? That was the first one.
That was very faint. There's a lot of distortion, Carrie. Is that because you have it turned way up on the computer?
Okay, turn it down. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I turn it down.
All right.
Okay, let's try again. We'll start over.
I was able to hear it a little bit better that time.
Okay, it's, yeah, we have really bad speakers.
It sounds like a real, almost like a high-pitched, like a high-pitched howl or something.
Yeah, and then the second one sounded similar, didn't it, Bruce?
Yeah, so when I first, you know, Carrie, when I first heard it, you know, what did I said, you know, it sounded like an animal because it didn't have, like, the bass, right?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have that volume. That's why when I first heard it, I said, you know, it sounds like an animal, you know, not a Sasquatch, even though Sasquatch is an animal, but it sounded like, you know, maybe an ungulate or something like that, But, you know, you say that it sounded different than it does on the recording when you play it back, right?
Yes, it definitely does. It was, that's the problem, you know. I mean, it's just like with pictures. Did you ever take a beautiful picture and it's so, everything, the scene's so massive, and then you get home and you know, you're like, well, if you would have been there, you know. It's, you know, with the it's hard getting vocalizations, especially if you don't have a voice recorder on. I wish we would have had a voice recorder going, you know, but it did sound a lot, it was a lot bigger, a lot louder, definitely. But yeah. We got what we got, and, you know, it's a nice little piece to have. So, well, thank you guys for having me on. We appreciate it. And
well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, and good luck with Creature Weekend. You guys always do a great job.
Thanks
and,
so much.
We'll catch you later.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Night.
Night.
Good night. Good night.
All right. Well, that was interesting. Hey, we got to hear a vocalization tonight.
Yeah. We played that. We looped that thing, Billy. We played it again and again and again, and I just can't match it up to anything. You know?
It does sound very similar to that Ohio howl from Columbiana County, Ohio, which is close to Beaver Creek State Park. I was actually on that property. It was in Wellsville where the Ohio howl was taken. Part of it sounds a lot like that Ohio howl if you go back and listen to that.
It does sound similar. And here's the weird thing. So on that video that they have, there's actually three separate vocalizations, and they don't sound the same. So it's kind of, to me, it's kind of compelling that if it were someone just call blasting or something like that, you'd think they'd be playing the same, you know, sound again and again. It would sound identical. But the other two have different tones and different pitches. So it's really weird. Don't know what to make of it. You've actually seen the video, right, Brian?
Yes.
What did he say?
Oh, I said you talking about Carrie's video?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it was on Facebook.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Billy.
No, I'm good. It is an interesting, from what I can hear of it. I mean, it's very high pitched. And I do see the similarities, like y'all are talking about with the Ohio howl, partially anyway. It would be nice if you could clean that up, get some of the distortion out of it.
It sounds well. There's a lot of distortion because I think it's coming from their computer speakers, Billy. But when I played that on my computer with the headphones, it sounded different. There wasn't as much distortion.
Yeah, we'll, Jeremy, we'll, Bruce gets the opportunity to clean that up. Maybe one day we'll play the cleaned up version, so that we can all hear it a little bit better, and then we can share it on the show for people, and that'll be, interesting.
Now, when I talked to Carrie and Dave, they said that it sounded to them like whatever was making those sounds, either A, it was getting closer to them, or B, it was more than one individual trying to communicate with each other. You know, who knows?
Isn't it funny, though, how you go out and you're doing something else and you get evidence of something you're not looking for?
It always works that way, Billy. You know?
I know. I know.
When you go out there loaded for bear, you know, with all your technology and you hike out there with all this equipment and you set it up and then just hours go by, nothing happens, you know, and then, you know, one day, you know, you're just taking a hike with, you know, just your bare essentials and no equipment, no cameras with you, no sound recorders. And then, you know, you have activity. And of course, no one believes you because what evidence do you have, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's the way it always works.
It happens. What can you say?
So, Brian, when is your next actual investigation?
Next, it's probably going to be Memorial Day weekend. We think we're going to try to go up to Shenango Reservoir. Home of the
dog boy?
Excuse me?
Are you going to look for the Shenango dog boy?
We're going to look for that. There's been apparently some recent Bigfoot sightings up around that area also, so we can have a 2-for-1, actually even a 3-for-1. There's an area up there called the Big Bend area, which is actually probably just several miles down the road from where that dog boy sighting was in the 50s. But this is an area supposedly that's haunted. It's right by a creek, and across the other side of the creek was supposedly an old Indian village years ago. And we're going to do that one night, I believe, and then another night we're going to go to probably up around the Shenango Reservoir. We have a couple friends up there who are going to take us to the spot that they heard some really weird screams probably about 4 or 5 years ago. So we're in the process of trying to get our hopefully Dave and Carrie will be there with us also. So that's, it looks like that's Memorial Day weekend because I've got the Monday off. So we'll probably do a Saturday, Sunday type thing.
Cool. You know, I just realized that you're the only other person I know who says crick. I say that sometimes.
Crick, yeah, we say crick. Crick, creek. We're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. It must be an Atlantic States thing, you know, because we say crick in upstate New York as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a creek, right?
yeah, I guess it really is.
Well, that should be a great time. The last time you were there, you didn't really find anything, right?
We met with the eyewitnesses and they took us around and we took some pictures and things like that. But it was mainly like a fact-finding thing for our talk last year at the Shenango Library.
Well, pretty cool. Before we get too far, I just want to mention you have some really interesting vendors at the Butler Paranormal Conference. You know, so you had like vendors in sort of the back room there. They're doing what psychic readings and stuff like that.
Yeah, Reiki. It was pretty cool. We also had a researcher who went to our conference for the first time since 1988. He hasn't been to any conferences. His name was Robert Gorman, and he's been researching since like the late 70s. He has a lot of articles in Fate magazine and things like that. So he was there. Another gentleman, Brian Parsons, was there. Of course, Stan Gordon, Patty Wilson was there. We had a lot of great researchers in that room. It was a great time.
Oh, of course. You know, I forgot to mention Patty Wilson. So I sat right next to Patty Wilson, and she's a very prolific writer. I think she's got, how many books does she have now?
Maybe 13, 14. I could be wrong. It may be more.
Yeah, I think it's actually in the realm of like 19 books or something like that.
It might be something like that. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, so she's a really good writer. Now, I went in that back room there, and there's like this little, I don't know, booth, and then these women were asking me what color my aura was. And they said, oh, I said, well, I don't really know, because I haven't really checked. But they said, oh, well, you know, come into this booth. We'll take a picture of your aura and your chakras. And I was like, you know, I usually don't show my chakras till like the third date. And then it's usually like after a dinner and a movie. But they, you know, they were really serious, Brian.
Yeah, I don't know who that was that did that. You know, Perry might know who some of those vendors were, but I didn't know who did that.
And there were you had people getting Reiki back there, and I don't know if I, you know, I don't know if I buy into the Reiki thing, but supposedly people like it.
Well,
have you ever been Reiki'd?
Well, yeah, Terry's kind of the, she knows more about that than I do. I don't know if she wants to come over here and talk about it or not.
Well, make sure the Reiki expert. Hello?
I think we lost them, Bruce.
I think they're gone, Billy. Maybe the Reiki god intervened.
Yeah, then we lost them because I got the notice that said the call dropped.
Well, anyway, it was Billy. It was interesting. There was one of the vendors. She had these wands that she had custom made, and she was selling at her table. And they're just. She said it was just for entertainment. I asked her if they were used in some sort of ceremony or something, but she's like, no, they're just for fun. And she was also selling these. There's a woman selling crystals. Yeah, supposedly crystals have like a calming effect or something like that. They give off good energy. I was gonna buy one, Billy, but they're all out of dilithium crystals. They didn't have any. And I asked her for them too, and she said, "No, we don't have anything that would power a starship." So she actually got my joke.
Brian, is that you?
Star Trek fans out there? What's that?
Is that Brian? I think Brian's back.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Brian handed me the phone, and I think I accidentally disconnected.
Oh. Why couldn't that happen to Dave Rupert?
Because Carrie was on the phone?
All right, so tell me about Reiki, Carrie.
Okay, do you understand what Reiki is?
All I know is if I pay an exorbitant amount of money, I'll be Reiki'd over the coal.
Well, no, it's when a person, they're, everybody has energy. And it's the energy that the person is using and focusing to, like, work with your energy. I don't know how to explain it. It has to do with energy in the hands. And
all right, hey, Brian, thanks for bringing the expert on the phone. No, I know what you're saying, Terry. I just don't know. So what does it fix? When they Reiki you, what is that supposed to fix?
Whatever they're focusing on. They can do it over your body. Like if they're focusing on your shoulders or your back, your leg, your knee.
Can they do liposuction?
No.
All right, well.
But you can Reiki your pets. And you can also do it from a distance. Like, you don't have to be, like, the person doesn't have to be there together. They
oh,
can
really?
Focus it. Yeah.
I mean, how far away do you have to be?
I don't think that matters.
Really? You know, I think, really? Terry, I think this is way out there stuff.
Can you
out there as interdimensional Bigfoot?
Come on, you're talking about like raking people from a distance?
Yes.
Is that during
I've
peak
heard
or off peak hours?
What?
is that during peak or off-peak hours, Terry?
Peak or off-peak?
Any peak of the day.
All right, well, so I still don't know what this is supposed to, like, how this is supposed to help you.
Well, if you have any pain or you're sore, it's supposed to relieve it.
All right.
Can you use it if someone else is being a pain to you?
I'm not sure if it would work that way.
Because I got a couple names I could give you.
I probably know one of them.
Hey, wait a minute. All right. Well, Terry, have you ever had it done to you?
Yes, and I've also taken, I have my Reiki 1 and Reiki 2 certificate.
Well, apparently you don't need to know what Reiki is to get those certificates, right?
It's been years that I haven't practiced it, so I'm not up on it.
Sir, you're a non-practicing Reiki?
Yes.
All right. Don't you have to get, like, continuing ed credits to keep doing the Reiki stuff?
Well, you have to be attuned every year for it.
A what? You have to be what?
Attuned. They attune you for Reiki.
What does that mean?
It's like tuning your
guitar.
You have to
get, like, recertified?
It's like tuning an instrument, Bruce. You got to be tuned in.
They tune your body, like your chakras. They put you, like, balance you.
Really?
Really.
All right, well.
You know what? We should get Leah on here because she's the expert at it. You can talk to her at Creature Weekend. Yeah, she does Reiki.
She does, really?
Yes.
All right, well, I will ask her about it. Maybe she can Reiki my prime rib or something like that before I let her try on me.
If you want her to.
Well.
But it won't bring it back to life.
Bruce, keep your personal life out of this, okay?
Thanks for calling into the show. Again, I really had a lot of fun hanging out with you guys over the weekend. Look forward to doing it at Creature Weekend this weekend. And, it's going to be a blast. Go ahead.
Hey, Bruce. What's the over-under on how many times Trapper is going to say, we're going to get that phone, bitch?
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine on that. thanks for calling in, and I'll see you in what, a mere 72 hours.
Yep.
Can't wait. It'll be fun.
Oh. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
No problem. Good night, guys.
Take care, guys.
We'll see you Friday.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, Bruce. I think we've knocked out another show. I just want to remind everyone, we've said it billions of times, and people are probably glad that this is like the last week that we'll be talking about Creature Weekend. Let me reassure you, we will be doing a recap.
It won't be the last week, Billy. Because after we come back from Creature Weekend, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. We'll have to do a recap show. So, exactly. But, yeah, just want to remind everyone, it is this weekend, May 1st through the 3rd. We start, of course, Friday night. Everything starts at 6 p.m. That's the meet and greet. There's no charge for the meet and greet. You can actually come out, kind of mingle with the folks that are there. Like I say, it starts at 6 o'clock, and then, of course, at 7 o'clock is when the private dinner starts, which everybody that got a gold pass or actually bought that ticket separately We'll be able to have the dinner and listen to a nice presentation given by Bill Brock, which should be very, very interesting. And then, of course, come on out May 2nd, which is the Saturday. You know, be there. And you said the registration table, did you say it's going to start at 10 o'clock?
Yeah, so the registration table will open at 10 a.m. So okay. We'll be selling, you know, general admission tickets for adults and children. That's all that's left. And the table will pretty much be open all day.
Okay. So 10 o'clock, it does say on the website 9 o'clock. I didn't know if you were aware of that. But,
well, the 9 o'clock is for the vendors to get to the
okay.
table.
Okay. All right. And so just for a reminder for everyone, Saturday, Nick Redfern will be doing a presentation. We're going to have Chad Armit there doing a presentation. Of course, Bill Brock from Destination Channel's Monsters Underground will be there. And, of course, the members of Mountain Monsters, Trapper, and the rest of the cast will be there. And I just know that there are several people out there that want to probably ask Buck some questions after these last two episodes.
Well, Billy, so what I've been told is Buck won't be able to make it out because he has to work.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I know people were going to just bombard Buck with all kinds of questions.
Yeah, I think that's why he had to work.
Well, that's okay. They can bombard Huckleberry.
Wild Willie.
Yeah. Well, Huckleberry had some stuff happen to him too, so they can always jump him. Now, Wild Bill. Now, I don't know. He'll be all hyper, ready to go.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to try to keep him out of the woods. I don't want him to build no traps back in there. I don't want to get off the trail and get stuck in something.
You know, the great thing about those Mountain Monsters guys, and of course we all know the show's a lot of fun. It's just for entertainment. You can't really, you know, take it seriously. But those guys, since they're gonna be kids there, you know, they'll be in character, and the kids will love it. So, it'll be a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. So, folks, if you can make it out, I mean, for God's sakes, even just to meet those crazy guys, it'll be a good time. Just so everyone knows, you can come to the event. There'll be tons of people hanging around the vendor tables and stuff like that. A lot of people choose to hang out down in the hallways there and around the ballroom and just kind of talk to everyone. Obviously, there's no charge to hang around in that area. The only tickets are, you know, if you're coming in to sit down and listen to the conference and that type of thing. So, you know, if you can't pay for a ticket, come listen to the conference. We definitely want you to show up and just hang out with us at the vendor areas. And, you know, you'll be able to talk to a few of the guys. You know, Nick Redfern, I'm sure, will be out there. Chad Armit, Mountain Monster guys. So come and pay us a visit. If anything on Saturday, it's going to be a blast. So we'd love to see a lot of our listeners there if you can make it, that's for sure. I can't think of anything else, Bruce. Do you think of anything?
Not really, Billy. I think that pretty much wraps it up.
All right. So next Tuesday night, I'm hoping we'll be back, Bruce.
I don't know. We might be out on an expedition Tuesday, Billy.
You know, I didn't think about that, folks. We may have to skip a show because Bruce and I are going on an expedition after Creature Weekend. So we may have to skip a show. next week. So, I don't know. We'll have to find out, Bruce. We'll have to figure that out. I don't know I don't know if there's a way I can do a live show from the field. But you never know. Never know. I have to figure out. I will have to figure out if I have enough internet signal in the area that we're going to be doing the expedition. So that is something I'll have to get back with everybody on. Not sure. Haven't been out there yet, so don't know what kind of connection I've got out there. So, hey, if we can do it, we'll do it. So we'll leave that up in the air for now. All right, Bruce, if you don't have anything else, I'm done. So I want everyone to have a great rest of the week, a great weekend. If you can join us at Creature Weekend, we'd love to meet you. So until next time, everyone have a great one and be careful out there. Everyone have a great night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Sasquatch Watch Radio. We appreciate every one of our listeners. We hope you enjoyed our program. Don't forget to tune in again next week for another fun and informative program. Please visit our website at www.sasquatchwatchradio.com and leave us a comment about the show. We want to hear from you. Until next time, keep on looking for the big guys.